Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to enter into the world of the paranormal with your hosts, Sherry Peng and Jason Ophir. Explore with us the world of ghosts, UFOs, demons, and Bigfoot. You can also call into the show at 215-383-3999 and join the discussion.
All right, we are back. I want to say hello to everybody in internet land for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I am Jason Ophir, as usual, with my beautiful co-host, Sherry. Sherry, did you have a good week since our last show?
Yes, I had a very, very good week. I'm really happy that we're on air again, and yeah, I'm looking forward to a new guest, and I'm really excited. This guy is very sought after and knows his stuff and real, and I just really enjoy looking forward to hearing from him again. So anyway, for the first time, we're going to introduce Eric Mitchell.
And he hasn't called into the show yet, so why don't you tell us a little bit about him? And I know he's into UFOs and abductee, and you know that's right up my alley. So, but we're still waiting for him to call in. So, can you tell us a little bit more about our guest tonight?
Well, I don't know quite a story about being an abductee, but he is definitely a genuine UFO abductee, and I'm just he says he could take 4 hours to go and talk about his abduction, but he's going to share with us very briefly about that and what he's learned from his experience.
Well, I'm very interested to talk to him tonight when he calls in, because as you know, UFOs is right up my alley. You know, I've done the paranormal investigating and seen some strange things, but I think for me personally, UFOs, because of my experiences, is my main area of focus, and especially alien abductions. I believe abductions going on just based on my experiences, and I know it sounds out there, but I'd be willing to bet that more people are being abducted by aliens or interdimensional beings or whatever they may be than is expected or what you would think. It's a fascinating subject, and I'm always, when I'm online, I'm always looking and trying to find out what's going on with the world of UFOs, and sometimes it's hard to know what's real or not because there's all these fakey videos on YouTube, but it's truly fascinating.
Yep, very much so. Hey, Jason, why don't you go and repeat the number that he can call in just in case. Would you please repeat the number, what the call-in number is, and maybe to our guests that would like to call in also, just in case?
Sure. If any of the guests or any of the listeners want to call in during the second hour and have any questions for our guests tonight, you can call in at 215-383-3999. That's 215-383-3999, and join our discussion a little bit later. And it looks like he just called in, so we'll bring him into the show and talk a little bit about UFOs.
Excellent.
Eric, is that you?
Yes, it is. How are you?
Hey, welcome to the show. We're excited to talk to you this evening. I don't know if you heard what I was saying a little bit earlier, but I've had a lot of UFO experiences, abductions, and craziness, and so I'm always excited to talk to somebody that's had experiences as well. But we might as well just get started, and I'll kind of give you the floor if you could tell everybody a little bit about yourself, and we'll just kind of dig into it all.
Sure. Well, if I went into my life story, it would take up the whole show, and we only have an hour. It gets a bit minute and monotone when you repeat the same story over and over. So I actually wouldn't mind, doing a play-by-play as far as what your questions might be. And you know, going with a good host and answering any questions I might be able to answer.
Well, I certainly understand the monotone thing, because I've told one of the one of my UFO abduction stories a billion times, and it's almost, it just comes out the same. So I understand that. And as everybody knows that I believe in UFOs. And so if you don't want to talk about the story, is
well, it would take about 4 to 5 hours. Last night,
okay.
I tried to cram it into two. What a lot of people don't know is that excuse me, I'll clear my throat. I'm one of the most recorded experiencers that there is. You know, of course, you would figure that would be in mainstream media and all over the place, and I've done a lot to keep that from happening. CNN contacted me, a lot of radio shows, TV shows, and stuff like that, and I've just turned most of that down and tried to focus on my life or what's left of it. I mean, it was really torn apart. My worldview was just completely destroyed, so I had to rebuild and work on that. Most importantly, being honest with myself when I was doing that. It just takes a lot of work. I had no belief in this subject. I didn't grow up watching sci-fi. You know, I just never even, you know, with a 10-foot pole, if somebody said they, you know, saw a UFO, I would, you know, tell them to get proper psychological help before all this happened to me. You know, now I'm definitely on the other side of the fence. You know, I work with experiencers every day. I get calls in from quite literally all over the world and, you know, work with people. And not just, you know, everyday common folk. You know, I've worked with judges, doctors, lawyers. I've talked to, third world country leaders. I've talked to, Stephen Greer. Of course, everybody knows him. Sixth astronaut on the moon, Edgar Mitchell, Paul Hellyer, Canada's Ministry of Defense. So yeah, I've been contacted by a lot of people over this, and so it's just been a hell of a ride. And I think my best work is not show ponying and say I'm, look at me in the limelight. It's more in the dark and speaking to people one-on-one over the phone and, you know, working with their families and their children and their spouses to try to overcome what they're going through.
I've always kind of believed that this abduction phenomena is a lot more common than people believe. I suspect that there are people out there that are being abducted that have no idea that they're being abducted. No strange things are happening to where they would say, "Oh, I'm being abducted by aliens." Would you agree with that? Do you think it's a lot more common than people might think?
I think if you and I got on the biggest airwave we ever could, mainstream everything, and instructed everyone to wear a purple shirt tomorrow at noon, and just go out to your mailbox and stand there as an experiencer, you would be awestruck. We would all be awestruck. That's how deep it goes. I think on the Roper polls, 10 million people went forward in America, just America. There's 330 million Americans. 10 million people came forward and say, "Yes, I am an experiencer." And I know you and I probably both didn't even, you know, participate. So there's a lot of people that know. And, you know, of course, they keep it a secret. You know, there's very few people that can get out there and talk. They're afraid of what everyone's going to think of them. The ridicule factor's got them all down. They don't want to lose their friends, their family. They don't want to lose any of that. But in secret, they find people like us to confide in, and that's great. But, you know, it needs to go a little bit further than that. I think, you know, I get contacted by a lot of people that just want to do a little dance back and forth, avoid the subject, but try to get to know me. And eventually they break in and say, you know, I think something's going on, but I'm not sure, you know, and that's usually where most people lie on the fence, and eventually they do find out that there is a problem.
I think it's probably wise to keep something secret. You know, with my personal experiences, I had there was just something strange that happened, and I'm not going to go into details just because it's your show. But a strange object was left behind, and it was sent to Whitley Strieber, and it was sent to a lab in Texas, and it was never identified. And then these, like, people were installed some sort of electronic device out of my house, and me and this other guy were being followed. So I can relate to people being afraid to talk about it.
Sounds like it. I mean, for myself, I think it was July 28th of 2013. The Earth was spinning as normal, you know, but I had woken up at around 4 o'clock in the morning, and I was standing outside. And as I was waking up, you know, I was going, what the hell, you know. My left shoulder was facing my front door. I was, you know, I'm like, wow, you know, I sleepwalk outside. So as I kind of came to, sleepwalkers know it takes a second or two to wake up. You don't just open your eyes and go, hey, you know. But I was focusing on, it was 160 feet away, according to the investigation, 60 feet off the ground, which a telephone pole is typically 75 feet. So it's lower than a telephone pole. 30 to 40 feet in diameter was this orange, spherical, glowing object. I could not, for the life of me, figure out what in the world I was looking at. And I still remember my eyebrows just squeezing together, you know, just going, what, you know? But of course, I didn't think UFO, for God's sakes. To me, first of all, it's a fictional subject. Second of all, it was a, you know, it wasn't the classic 1950s silver, you know, flying disc. You know, this thing was stationary. But that's kind of all how it started. There had been a large amount of activity after that. I mean, this object came back almost literally every night for a year. Over 30 witnesses, possibly more military intervention. The abductions began. The spook marks were incredible. I have yet to see anyone produce, you know, what this looks like, you know, in reality for me and my daughter, you know. But I think I stopped counting between the top of her shoulder to her elbow, just in that area for myself and her, on both arms, 174 holes, deep holes. And when I say hole, I mean you could put an entire drop of water inside these things. There was no blood, no pussing. The pediatrician was just shocked. I've known him for 15 years, you know, and he's never seen anything like it. But it just kept going and going and going. I mean, it was very, very scary at first, but it became, you know, to a better understanding later on down the road.
With your experience, we hear a lot of talk about the grays, you know, those short, large eyes. Are there several beings that you've encountered that you can remember? Have they been the grays or something else?
Well, my memory has been off kilter when it comes to some of these things. You know, my kids are like, Dad, how do you always forget? Or, you know, why don't you remember? But I do have moments of clarity. I typically don't talk about this kind of stuff on radio or public, but I have seen various of sorts, and not, you know, not while I'm sleeping or anything like that. I mean, wide awake with witnesses, and on two occasions with cameras. So, I'm completely convinced it's either, different races or maybe even, you know, races that are, related somehow. I mean, their facial features kind of seem the same. The body types kind of seem the same, but there's different variations with height and skin color and things of that nature.
What do you think the objective of these aliens, you know, if you watch TV, you hear a lot about hybrids and stuff like that. Have you, in your research or experience, have you learned anything?
I'm not a ufologist, and, you know, sometimes I enjoy telling people that I'm not the lab rat that shrugs the other lab rat and says, hey, you know the guy in the white coat? Yeah, I got him figured out. There's no possible way. I mean, I can say what I think I know, but that's irresponsible to people. I can say what I do know, and, you know, I think that's important. And what I've witnessed is, you know, what I've witnessed is, you know, the helicopter showing up and chasing these things away. F-15 interceptors chase them away. Military people like a lieutenant colonel that followed me and my kids around got caught red-handed. But it seems to be a mixed agenda, you know. And for one, it looks like these military people, whoever they are, don't want contact to happen with the civilians. And I also think that they might be possibly in cahoots with what people refer to as the Greys. This is just what I've seen, you know. And there's a lot of stuff. You know, I started getting on YouTube, and my daughter, you know, she graduated high school at 14 years old. She's 21 now. She's gonna have a master's degree. We're from a very intelligent background and family. She slammed my computer shut. She said, "Dad, the most important thing in this entire subject is going on outside this house. I cannot believe you're reading this garbage." And, she was right. So I never really, I've never read one book on ufology. I've never really dug into it too deep. You know, I've just, with what my children and I have gone through is definitely been enough. And, just to hear the people and speak to the people that have actually gone through this thing. I think out of 211 families I've helped, two people have been insane and needed the proper help, and I've gotten that for them. The rest are completely, you know, just legitimate. You know, they have these problems. And pictures and videos don't do it for me. You know, it's just the trauma that they deal with. It's the hell that you can hear over the phone it's just a dead ringer, you know. These people aren't calling you for entertainment. They're calling you for help because there's something going on. But I would say definitely, I could definitely say there are two races that have found a way to get here. And one of which is trying to wake us up, trying to shake us up. And the other has a completely different agenda altogether. Is it multi-generational? Yes, I found that out for myself. You know, it may not be every person or every, you know, family involved, but for me it is. It's just very profound. And, are they going after sperm and eggs? Yeah, the first time I heard that, I thought this person was nuts. But, it turns out that that they're doing these things. So,
I know for me, with the fear, I can understand why people would contact you, because it is kind of a traumatic thing. Well, it's a very traumatic thing, and I think it doesn't really matter where you are. When they want to take you, they'll take you. I had an experience in a hotel room in a major city that was so traumatizing that any time I was in a hotel room with a similar layout, I had to change the room. It was like, I was like total PTSDing if the room was similar. It's crazy. Took a long time to get over that.
I totally understand that feeling. It's not even a thought. It's an emotion. You know, it's just, oh my God. It is incredible. I'm actually sharing a home with the CEO of Starborn Support, which is a support group for people all over the world with these kinds of problems. And we do conference every year that's coming up on August 26th here in Portland, Maine. And, of course, Travis Walton's going to be there and a lot of people that are well-known. And it's really great because, you know, experiencers get to speak, not ufologists that have opinions about, you know, it's just ufology is a huge mess in my eyes. You know, it's incredibly a big mess. You've got a lot of people out there that are trying to literally seek the information, the real information, and then you've got a lot of people that want to seek out the cash flow. Throw out any answer that you can and rake in the benefits of that, because there's people that really, really want answers. And so it's become a, is this your field or is this your business or, you know, is this your life? And I think, you know, to put it very simply, these things need to be separated and looked at a lot better. You know, there's a lot of people that go after a ufologist and say, please, I need your help. And this ufologist if he was a surgeon, this is how it would be. He'd walk into your room, you're in your garment, he's got a knife, and say, well, look, I haven't checked any blood work, I haven't really asked you for your symptoms, but, you know, I've taken out 3 gallbladders this week, and that's kind of what I feel like doing right now. So we don't want a doctor like that, and we definitely don't want a scientist like that. So for these people to be parading around in a sandbox pulling each other's hair is not doing any good to the subject at all. But, you know, there are some really good, genuine people out there, and I hope one day it kind of X's out this big show that's being put forward. You know, I truly feel and think deeply on the fact that, you know, the validity of a subject is robbed as soon as you put it to an entertainment value. Meaning, you know, we could pick something like love, you know. Now, that's something that's being ridiculed in the world right now. Oh, that jerk just brought up love. Ha, 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 ha. You know, this conditioned state in society is just another way to create a new bathroom or a new piece of controversy, but it's probably the biggest one. But if we were to look at love for a little girl, you know, a little girl has 2 parents. She has unconditional love. But forgets that idea as soon as cartoons start. You see Prince Charming and Prince Eric, and they're going to have an adventure and happily ever after, and everything's going to be perfect. Well, you know, this entertainment value created in the mind and the heart of a young child that this is what love is supposed to be. Now, this is going to set this child up to get knocked down and knocked down through middle school and high school, and eventually be scorned by the time she's 21 and actually find someone that she can truly not breathe without being around, you know, which is an emotional state that, you know, is very, very, you know, beautiful for a person to have. But also there's another state. It's called the state of being, where you literally create that and you give it to people because you understand the only place it comes from is you. You know, forgive people without even getting an apology, to reach out and be that person itself, you know, is the ultimate state of what that actually means. But every bit of it is robbed by, you know, just entertainment value. So when you get that half-cracked smile when listening to people talking about this kind of thing, it's in built into your social conditioning, your biased opinions, your mechanical reactive behaviors to completely disassemble the fact that these are happening to people. But it's happening to people all over the world, and it's pretty much the biggest issue that you could ever face, because the implications of its disclosure would the vastness is just too much. It's just way too much. You know, I've seen it for myself when it was done to me, and there's nothing that can change, you know, that will change, you know, that won't change. Everything you look at is different. I mean, everything you touch is different. Everything you see is different. So, you know, 4 short years ago, I was a dumb redneck, and, you know, a short sentence for me would take, you know, 8 minutes, you know, just... you know, 2 completely different people. You know, my IQ is different. The way I see everything's different. Completely changed.
So let me ask you: do you think, why are people being chosen to be abducted? What do you think, Eric or Jason? What's your input on that? Why are some people are and some aren't? What do you think of that? Is that random or is it selective? I don't know. I just want to get some input on that.
I feel it's selected. I feel like it's a DNA situation, you know, plain and simple.
You mean looking for certain DNA in certain human beings, humanoids?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I've postulated it myself, but like I said before, it's really hard to determine for myself. I can't slam anything down and created, you know, as a fact to people. Now, if you and I wanted to go out and have a glass of wine and speculate and everything like that, that would just be a hell of a time. You'd have a great time. But, you know, over radio or to a public, you know, faucet, that would be irresponsible to state something as fact when it's merely, you know, a postulation.
Okay.
But if I were to postulate, I would say that there's a hybrid program going on. and there's also you know, a lot of work trying to figure out the mess that we're in right now. And, you know, the biggest question I laugh at is, why don't they just land on the White House lawn and try to teach us better? Well, you know, that's a great question until you start to understand that, you know, maybe you've tried to help a drug addict before. Maybe you tried to help an alcoholic before, you know, offered the couch and offered them help. And eventually what you find is that you can't help this person, and it's destroying your life, you know. The only way you can help someone with a problem is really help them help themselves when they are helping themselves. Therefore, we need to look at our addictions. We're addicted to football, Honey Boo Boo. We're addicted to the presidential election. We're addicted to all these insane things. We're addicted to food that's killing us and giving us cancer. So, you know, we're addicted to a paradigm that doesn't do us a bit of good. You know, it's the funny thing, we're a ghost driving a meat suit, you know, made out of stardust, standing on a tiny, tiny rock in the middle of endless space. But somehow we've created enough distractions to forget that. And, you know, that's what we have. We're addicted to all these distractions. You know, if you can, you know, imagine, you know, someone from somewhere else that doesn't know what Wednesday is, McDonald's is, none of this stuff, and show up and see this lush green planet with intelligent life and looks down, he'd probably say, what in the hell is going on here? You know, it would be a shocking state of confusion. Wouldn't be the, you know, wouldn't it be the fastest way to understand is to, you know, create biologically something that thought like us and thought like them at the same time to bridge the gap to try to understand how insane we really are? I mean, we're the only species that we're aware of that have necrophilia, for God's sakes. We're insane, you know. But like I said, that's just a postulation. That's just, you know, putting it out there saying maybe they're just trying to bridge the gap to try to understand.
There certainly is a lot of distraction out there. It's, I mean, it's amazing. And I get sucked into it too, you know,
oh, yeah.
With computers and all that. It's hard not to, and it makes you wonder if, I almost wonder if the government's designed, you know, or advertising agencies to specifically and deliberately distract us from the truth, to keep us suppressed in some way. I don't know. Maybe that's more of a conspiracy theory thing. I don't know.
Well, my thoughts are that, you know, the government wants our money. The corporations wants our money. The banksters wants our money. You know, everybody wants our money. But, you know, that's not the true currency when it comes to a planet of life floating in the middle of nowhere. You know, the true currency is attention, consciousness. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of people think there's one cabal and they're strong and they've made this, you know, happen for us. But I believe that's not 100% accurate, because if it were, it'd be much better orchestrated. It would be a much better job. But what I see is that people's consciousness is being shifted all over the place. Look, there's McDonald's. Look, there's Burger King. Look, there's a shopping mall. Oh, my God, I have to buy that to impress my friends. Oh, the newest car is coming out. So, you know, we can't access the power that we are, who we are, or anything like that, because of the fact that our attention is being drawn from every single direction. You know, it's a wonder why we're not all of us, you know, just have an ADHD or ADD. I mean, we're getting pulled in every single direction possible because everybody wants your attention. And the thing is, you know, your brain is being bombarded by subliminal messaging. Most people don't even realize that when they sit and watch a movie, they get it visually, but they also get it on an auditory level. Take, for instance, if you're, you know, watching a horror film, you've probably recently been in there where you have that low rumble, that, you know, 741 hertz. That's literally a sign, you know, that your brain reacts emotionally, intellectually, in every way to vibrations and frequencies, sounds and things like that. There's some that promote love, happiness, all kinds of things. So, you know, this is being used as well, you know, just to gain the attention of the people. But one thing a power-hungry, narcissistic nutcase would definitely want to do is channel all of everyone's attention on one spot. You know, that's the ultimate power. That's the ultimate thing. what everybody on the planet thinks in this, you know, is going to eventually happen. You know, I can go so many different directions with that one.
Do you think that there will be disclosure at some point, that there will be some sort of event to where it can no longer be, you know, no longer can be distracted from, or yeah, or something like that?
Looking at every attribute or critique or anything like that. I'm sorry, sometimes my mind goes in so many different directions. I would have to say, as close as I've looked at it, in every possible way, the only disclosure we have a chance to throw a rock at is the people's disclosure, us. I don't think we're going to get it from the government. I think it's a carrot on a string, and people are just going to chase after it for 70 years, just like we have for the last 70 years. There's no benefit whatsoever for the government to give a disclosure. They're not backed into a corner. They're not in a situation where they're going to do it. There's plausible deniability. Paul Hellyer comes out, Canada's Ministry of Defense, and he says, yes, you know, they're real. And everybody else kind of turns their back. You know, no other government wants to follow suit. So just watching the behavior of the possibility of disclosure, if that makes any sense, leads me to a great understanding that the responsibility of disclosure is for the people that have the information, and we're the ones with the information. We're the ones with the experiences, and we're the ones that have to live this kind of life. Because, you know, once this kind of thing happens to you, nothing is ever the same. Never. So with that kind of pain and that kind of distance from the general public, we owe it to ourselves to free that and to create what we know to be a better place by doing that. I mean, I think disclosure is not just going to let people know, hey, this is going on. It's going to let people know, hey, there's an alternative. So people are going to start waking up and realizing some of these conspiracy theories are actual facts. because you never hear of a conspiracy fact. You just hear of conspiracy theories. But it opens their eyes, you know, to their own religion, to their own belief systems and everything like that. So, no, I mean, it's not going to benefit the government at all to bring disclosure out. I don't think it's a possibility at all.
Well, I sure would like that to happen, although I do understand that that might create some level of pandemonium and question people's views on reality. But another question I had was, you've helped so many people have these experiences. Is there a concept, I assume there is, I mean, I know there is, but for our listeners, are there common aspects between all these people that are coming from all different points of the world, similarities and experiences that can't be denied? I thought maybe you could share some of the commonalities between all these people that seek out help.
Oh, they're incredible. They're incredible. It's almost, you know, different people telling the same story. It's at times clockwork. You know, usually there's three beings in their room. They see light. They remember flashes of memories of being examined and looked at. You know, it's no different from, you know, the research that's been done in the past by a lot of different people. You know, for myself, it's not about learning from them, but, you know, I have quite a bit. But, you know, at the same time, I'm learning how to cope with what happened to me as well. You know, it's what people don't understand when they call me. They're like, please help. And I'm like, yes, yes, you can help me too. Because, you know, it really helps me to remember things. But, yeah, I mean, it's incredible. You know, I met this guy, Yannick Almond, last year. And, you know, out of all the things people talk about, you know, there's certain things that I haven't heard people say that happened to me and happened to my daughter and my son. And this guy just blurts it out right in front of, you know, all the members in Starborn support. Me and my kids just immediately look at each other like, wow, wow. He knows what we're talking about. He knows. So I don't think it's the run-of-the-mill same situation every time with everyone. But there's definitely, you know, a similarity with a lot of things. You know.
Are there things that people can look for when, you know, if somebody thinks that they're having some sort of experience, certain signs that could point in the direction of being an experiencer? I know that there are things like hypnagogia and sleep paralysis that are legitimate deals.
Sure. And these things need to be ruled out. They really do, you know, for yourself, you know, to be responsible. I remember when it first started happening to me, I had this incredible daydream. It was wonderful that I would, I was having delusions and everyone else was just pretending to be nice to me. And I was going to go in, talk to a psychiatrist, find out I was delusional and had too much stress and releasing a facet or faucet in some way, get on proper medication for 6 to 8 months and I'd be fine. That, you know, that was literally the most insane thought I had, with pictures and videos on my phone and, you know, over 30 witnesses. But see, I didn't want this to be real. So the only alternative that I could hope for to be real is to actually be insane or temporarily insane. most of the time I get a call from people that says, I think something's going on. I don't believe in this subject, but I just want to, you know, hear from you. And, you know, for me, I don't lead a person. I don't give a person information. What I do is just allow a person to talk, because they can't. They literally can't. And in psychology and in, you know, human decency, once a person talks long enough, it starts to come out of them. And there you have it, you know. By, you know, it's never a 20-minute conversation. It's always 4 hours, 6 hours. Where they just end up and it's all coming out, you know, things that they didn't even know about. But, you know, to get from point A to point B, you've got to take those little steps. And in this case, these little steps are little words just coming out, forming in sentences, and all of a sudden these hidden emotions and hidden thoughts are coming out that you never knew that was there. And so it usually just eventually comes out by itself, but people are so closed off by you know, the paradigm of the whole thing. Don't talk about it. Don't think about it. I remember the first time I ever said the word UFO or the acronym, I felt like I committed a crime. And I thought to myself, where did that come from? Why do I feel like this is a crime just to say that word? You know, and you really got to think really, really hard about that. It's like, why? You know, this is indoctrinated into us, you know, our whole lives without us knowing about it. But, it's just incredible when you dig deep enough to see some of these truths and how it all works.
So, I know I didn't talk about it for a long time, but I'm fortunate in that I haven't had anything. The main bulk of the experiences that I had was back in the 90s. And so, fortunately, nothing's happened in a long time. I'm thankful for that. It felt very clinical. It wasn't like a warm, fuzzy thing at all. My experiences, I imagine that's probably pretty common among people that report stuff like that. I don't know. I'm not a UFO researcher, but I imagine
it
was very clinical. Like they had to do whatever they had to do. It wasn't warm and fuzzy at all. It's not.
No emotions whatsoever. You know? Yeah, definitely. I hear that all the time. My son sat down next to me once, and I was watching a presentation that was being done at Dolores Cannon, because I lived in Arkansas at the time, and I was just watching on YouTube that a presentation that some people were talking about. And I said, son, what do you think about this gray stuff? And he looked down at his hands, and he looked back up at me, and he said, Dad, they're like interstellar beats, you know? And he just floored me. Here's a kid that knows nothing about ufology, never learned anything about any of this stuff. It just began to start with us, or so we thought. And, you know, he nailed something that that stuck with me for a long time. You know, he said, I think they're like interstellar beings, and we're just the flowers. And, you know, that's a hell of a thought, because that's what I hear all the time. They have no emotions. They have big, black, scary eyes. It's all clinical feeling. And, you know, you ever try to stop a bee and say, hey, man, you know, kick back, grab some water, relax. No, they're constantly going. They're driven, and they're clinical about what they do all the time. So I thought that was a hell of a thought from a 12-year-old kid just looking at a subject.
Now, let me ask this, since I kind of pick your brain a little bit. One of the things that I noticed with my experience is there, and it's hard to describe, anytime there was an experience, or at least some of the time, I would be, you know, I wouldn't be trying to sleep. So it wasn't like a hypnagogia type of thing. You know, I might just be sitting there watching television. And then I would get this tumbling sensation, like I was being turned off. And as soon as I felt that sensation, all these memories came back and I knew what was going to happen. It was like I felt the sensation and it was like, holy crap, it's starting. Have you ever heard anything like that before?
Yeah, quite a bit. Many different ways, though. Many different ways. You know, people that are sitting in a parked car, you know, they'll get this, you know, familiar emotion, you know, just come over them, and they would feel the whole car shake, and next thing they know, they're looking at the clock, and it's 2 hours later, and there's lights all over the place.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, it's entailed with them and PTSD. One thing I do know for sure is these guys are highly psychic. They have lobes in their brain that are highly evolved. Their IQ is just unbelievable. And their communication is incredible. You know, you get a lot of people that talk about, you know, head-to-head, what is it, you know, telepathy, where they talk like that. There's also a empathetic gesture where you can literally emotionally connect, where one emotion can draw out 10 pages of words, you know, and that kind of spiritual connection. I don't mean spiritual standing in church with your hands in the air singing. I mean, you know, just tears rolling down your face, your whole body shaking, your heart pounding out of your chest type of experience, which I've had several times. There's many, many different ways. One thing that's very new that's coming out, and I'm unfortunately on the top of the list of the people that experience this, is that they're experiencing vibrations and frequencies inside their mind. They literally have this experience of around 700 to 800 hertz of a vibration in their head, and there's beats per second. What you can do is take a stethoscope, put it on this person's head, and listen to it. Now, tinnitus can't do this, which is a medical condition. You can't get this from schizophrenia. The brain has no part in it that can create sound, yet these people are creating sounds. They're not creating it themselves, but they are perceiving it, and other people can listen to it. So that's been incredible. Joseph Birx, you know, he's written about it. I've been sent to a lab. I've been sent to a place in Nashville to do some recordings, because for some reason I'm able to do this at will and through contact you know, it's been recorded, it's been studied. So it's pretty incredible. And you think, you know, I'd just be mobbed with all these people, but that's not the truth. There are a lot of people going, wow, that's real. I hate that crap. You know, let's go back to saying that.
So I actually have a stethoscope, and I'm really curious about this. So where – I also have pulsatile tinnitus and regular tinnitus, but where would I put – that stethoscope and see if I can hear anything? Like, is there a particular point on the skull?
Well, it's usually just before abduction or contact. It's not all the time type of thing. The ear is good because there's no skull in the way to, you know, deaden noise. The front of the forehead, for some reason, is very, very good. But when you experience it yourself, and you know what tinnitus is like because you have it, but if you get this, you know, low rumble, like a waterfall or rocks rumbling together, you know, and you've never experienced it before, and it feels like the center of your brain, then you're definitely in for a treat. I know. of my roommate, that poor girl, you know, she's got tinnitus, and I tried to show her what I could do with a stethoscope, and she couldn't hear it, you know, and everybody with tinnitus has too much noise. They can't hear these subtle sounds. It's about twice the sound of a heartbeat, but coming out of the human head, that's amazing. You know, I've got a doctor buddy of mine that's just going, wow. And yes, I do have the ability to change the frequency at will, put in and take out beats per second. I'll be walking down the sidewalk. It's incredibly true, you know, and I hate saying it on radio, but enough people know about it now from physical experience that I'm not shy about it anymore. You know, it's a part of me. But one of my favorite things to do, besides playing with vibrations and frequencies at home, is just to literally put in earphones and play along with the music as I'm walking down the street. You know, nobody knows what's going on, but I'm actually, you know, creating music. But the hertz range is very huge. It's a very, very big hertz range outside of human hearing all the way to the other spectrum. So it's been fun. But, you know, the neat part is I'm able to play with certain speakers and line them up and put certain frequencies together and reverberate against them to see what part of the mind it affects and everything like that. And so I've developed a lot of things with frequencies that literally can give you a spiritual experience immediately, can do a lot of things that affect your mind, and I think that's really cool to do without, you know, brain scans and graphs and all the things that it would take and how expensive it would be just to do all this without the ability that I have to do. You know, not saying I'm special or anything like that, I'm just saying that, you know, a lot of ufologists have heard about this when they're getting, you know, hit with these frequencies, but so far I'm the only one that can actually deliver it back. So it's
Eric, are you do you experience heart palpitations?
No, I don't. I had some medical trouble last year where I was having bad palpitations, but other than that, no.
Amazing.
No. Yeah, that was the first time I tried to show my daughter's pediatrician, you know, and she prompted it, and the doctor actually went towards my heart with the stethoscope, and I put it in my forehead, and he looked at me funny, and I put out about 750 hertz. Well, unfortunately, that same sound sounds like blood pressure hitting the head, and you're going to get that low rumble type sound. So I was so shy and timid with it back then, I didn't want to be called crazy or anything like that, that I went to renege and just walk out of the room, and my daughter elbowed me, and she said, "Dad, change the frequency, give him a high frequency." So I did that, and he just jumped back. And I remember his palm just grasping his, you know, desk, and I saw the blood rush up his neck and into his face. He just could not believe what he witnessed. So he offered, after closing time, for me to come back and run some testing, and these guys were just, they were dumbfounded. They couldn't believe, you know, what was going on. Most of them were looking for a trick, you know. Are you tensing your neck? Are you doing this with your jaw muscle? Blah, 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 yada, yada. Ultrasound comes out, and the forensics, you know, that's going to come out on this is just downright amazing. You know, it's uncontrovertible. I've got a lot of friends that I'll be meeting after the conference here pretty soon that are very interested, you know, with what I'm coming up with this year.
Do you think that it has something to do with an implant of some kind, or is it more of just an energy thing?
Well, that's a common consensus. I don't think it's an implant, but a lot of people believe so. But I really have no way of knowing yet. You know, if I can get a doctor that will touch this with a 10-foot pole, that'd be great. But, you know, who wants to lose 16 years worth of schooling or credibility just by documenting something like this? You know the microphones that you can clip on your shirt and you can do public speaking? You know, I could put one of those in my ear and play you the bass line of any song you can name. I can speed the song up, slow it down, add in beats per second, take it out, and I'd be more than willing to have anybody check me for anything while I'm doing this, because it's that's where it's literally coming from. Well, we had a scientist last year at the conference that that came, and he brought one. He ran every test possible. And the poor guy, he went home empty-handed. Man, that's just the most amazing thing I've ever seen in my life. It's unexplainable. But, no, I mean, I honestly don't know if it's an implant. I don't know if it's a natural thing that we're all able to do, and I was able to access it, but whatever the case may be. You know, and I do say frequency as well, you know, with vibration, because I can literally put a cup of water on my head and vibrate the water, you know, holding as still as possible. So, you know, you can put your finger on my forehead and feel the vibrations come through. So, you know,
is that with or without effort?
Well, it's effort. It's complete control. I mean, you know, I can move my pinky. I can move my toe. I can do this. You know, it's just, you know, at first it was scary. I thought I had a brain tumor, but now it's just a normal thing. You know, I used to tuck my kid in at night and put my forehead on his stomach and vibrate it until he tickled. You know, so it's just a part of my life now. You know, it's just like being an amputee. You know, the first day you want to shoot yourself, but in time you learn to live with it, and, you know, it's just a part of me now. There's no way, shape, or form that, you know, this is going to do it by itself unless there is a contact about to happen. But, yeah, I'm 100% in control. There's no tinnitus, there's no schizophrenia, there's no anything. It's just a show and tell at this point.
Well, since you can control it, I wonder if you could be actually drawing them in. You know, if it's normally during an abduction experience, what if you're, like, sending out some sort of beacon?
Well, it happened because of them. You know, the third sighting I had, I was literally tying my shoe outside, and I felt a vibration on the top of my head. I thought I was getting the chills or something, and, you know, it just happened so fast. It was like somebody turned up the volume and knocked me down. If you've ever been standing at a rock concert in front of the speakers, you feel the vibration go through your entire body.
Right.
Well, this is, you know, 10,000 times over. I hit the ground immediately. My nose was bleeding. My left ear was bleeding. I could feel it in my organs. I could feel it in my body, but it was centralized on my head. And the only thought I can push through my head at the moment was, oh, my God, I think I'm being killed. The vibration was so strong that you could literally football kick me. And the only thing I would know about that is that I'd be falling down. I mean, I wouldn't have felt the kick. I wouldn't have felt anything. I vomited, but the only reason I know I vomited is because my throat and my mouth were wide open at the time. That's how I knew I was vomiting. It was just totally engulfed. It lasted about maybe 15 seconds, and the object took off. It was 30 feet over my head. I laid there for about 20 minutes, and I got up, and, you know, like a 21-year-old drunk, I found my bathroom floor, that nice cold floor to lay on, and I just laid there, you know, scared to death, and I passed out. I didn't fall asleep. I passed out. I woke up around 5 o'clock the next morning. I had vomit, blood all over my clothes, and I kicked off my shoes and got into the bathtub, and I turned the shower on, and I just laid there until the hot ran out. I was extremely dehydrated. I remember grabbing the thing of cranberry juice and just drinking until my stomach was so swollen, you know, and I couldn't, you know, handle any more of it. But then I felt this vibration on the top of my head again, and I threw down the cranberry juice. It spilled all over the floor, and I grabbed a cabinet and braced for impact. But it was just a low, light rumble and went away. So, you know, a couple of times that morning it was happening, but it was centralized, you know, like the center of my brain. You know, we don't have nerve endings in our brains, so we're not supposed to feel our brain. You know, maybe when we have a headache, but that's, you know, ridiculosis is when you feel pain in one spot, but it's actually occurring from another side. Kind of like when you have back pain in your neck, but it's coming from, you know, your lower back. They call that thoracic ridiculosis, which is a derivative by, you know, what's that language they base everything off of. But throughout that day, I was just worried about being attacked. I was worried about getting hurt. You know, I was thinking about making an appointment to a doctor and playing it out in my head, being, you know, thrown in a white padded room somewhere. So I didn't go to the doctor. I didn't go to the emergency room. But once I felt the feeling in the center of my mind when it was doing this, I would relax and it would stop. And so I thought, oh, my God, I'm doing this. And I kind of laughed at myself. So
wow.
I felt that part of my brain that was, you know, hurt from the night before. And I focused on it, and boom. I mean, it just went everywhere. But in time, I learned how to focus, you know, through a pinhole anywhere in my head, you know, a certain direction. And the guys in Nashville that recorded me, they were just freaked out. They couldn't believe what was going on. They were checking for wires. You know, I told my daughter, I said, stay in the control room and record these guys. It's going to be hilarious, because they were complete skeptics. And now they, you know, I still talk to them to this day. You know, it's just changed their lives, but it sure as hell changed mine, I'll tell you that.
Are there any recordings that somebody could listen to? Like, say, if I wanted to hear what that sounded like, do you have it posted anywhere?
I got a few CDs out in the car. But like I said, I'm involved in you know, the biggest investigation that's ever been done. So handing pictures and videos and evidence out like candy would be complete disrespect to my investigator, you know. So I don't put any of this stuff out on the internet, but person to person, you know, as long as the trust is there, I'm fine with it. I think there's still a clip on Facebook where my daughter's putting a cup of water on my head and I'm literally vibrating through the water. I think it's still on there. But yeah, I'd be happy to, you know, show you sometime.
That's wild. Well, we're running out of time here, so I wanted to give you an opportunity to, if there are any people that feel that they're having some experiences, is there a way they can contact you or an organization?
Sure, they can get a hold of me. You know, Facebook's the best and fastest way to get a hold of me. If I'm not the person, then we have Starborn support. I've personally got 68 you know, psychologists that are willing to dive into the subject. And these, most of them are experiencers, and the rest of them have talked to enough experiencers themselves to go, I'm in, you know. So they're all licensed. They want to help out, and eventually they want to put together, you know, a call center and do a lot of good, you know, a lot of help to people. But, you know, like I said, if I'm not the person, a lot of times when it's a female, it turns into a crush or something like that because of, you know, the way things happen. But, you know, so, you know, this person would go and talk to Audrey, you know, the CEO of Starborn. But either way, you know, if you're out there, you're looking for help, too scared to reach out, I deal with that kind of thing every single day.
And so they can just find you. Is it Eric Mitchell on Facebook?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, we're out of time. So I want to thank you so much for coming on Paranormal Horizons tonight and educating us a little bit on the subject.
Thanks for the call. I enjoyed meeting
you. Thank you so much, Eric, for taking your time over there from the East Coast for joining us.
No problem. You guys have a wonderful night.
You too. Yeah,
thank
it's a little late Eric. Over there. All righty. Well, thanks for coming on the show, and hopefully we can talk to you again and dig into it a little more sometime in the future.
That'd be great. You guys take care. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you.
Too.
Thank you for your time. We appreciate you. Yay. All right. Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, it's, God, you know, I just eat the subject up. I'm almost afraid to think about it, though, because anytime I think about aliens and UFOs, I start to get creeped out, because it's like one of the only things in the world that creeps me out, but that definitely creeps me out.
Yeah.
But I suppose I'm entitled to be able to be creeped out, because I've had so many bizarre things happen. So what do we got lined up next week for Paranormal Horizons?
Well, next week we have Jessica Bull. We're going to have her. She's going to be a returning guest. She is very well known in doing magic, but she's going to go and teach us about different crystals. Different crystals have different metaphysical and health properties, and I'm really interested in what kind of rocks, just plain rocks, so there are different ones, from amethyst to rose quartz to all kinds of different rocks she's going to get into with the spiritual and metaphysical and all kinds of different qualities of each particular rock and combinations we can use to help us through our life and help us spiritually and health-wise and all kinds of things. So that's going to be interesting. I've never had an education about different kinds of rocks. So.
Well, I'm hoping she can give me a good combination to make my heart stop palpitating because it's really annoying. So
I
can
think
you're
just going on a high vibration, Jason.
What's that?
I think you're just on a very high vibratory level.
Well, I don't want to be on a high vibratory level if it's going to make my heart flip-flop 24/7. Bring me to a low vibratory level.
Yeah, mine's been doing the same thing. Yeah, you and me both. So mine's starting to calm down a little bit. But,
oh,
yeah.
Well, yeah, mine's been doing it on and off for the last decade, and it's super, super annoying.
Yeah,
I understand.
But, so.
But enough of my cardiovascular problems. So I want to thank everybody for listening to the show tonight. Thank Eric Mitchell for talking about UFOs and stuff like that. I think I'm going to be, since I have a stethoscope, I'm going to be like sticking it everywhere to see if I can hear sounds coming out of my body now. I totally am going to do it too.
Well, yeah, definitely. And you'll have something to talk about and share, you know, if you hear something really out of the ordinary.
I totally will. So, later tonight, I'm going to be playing doctor with myself looking for vibrations.
Yes,
but,
definitely. All right. Well, thank you, listeners and viewers. Thank you for being supportive and your participation. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, everybody, for tuning in tonight. We'll be back next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time, for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. And I hope everybody has a great week. Good night, everyone.
Take care. Peace.